The Holy Gospel for this Sunday is from Luke's Gospel, the 13th chapter, beginning at verse 10. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the day Sabbath?" When he'd said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. That's the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This Luke text is about the nature and the character of Sabbath, and maybe even especially Sabbath worship, and the test case is a woman who appears somewhere in the middle of Jesus' teaching, who is bent over and has been that way for 18 years. Can you see her? I've seen some people who've been bent over so much that all they see is the ground, people's shoes. Occasionally, if there's something particularly important going on, they'll raise their eyes as much as they can. And oftentimes, you'll hear a little squeak of pain, because it's really hard to unbend something that's been bent for 18 years. People who look at her almost never see her eyes. Almost never know if she's smiling or not. All they have is a view of the top of her head. And as far as clues go to nonverbal communication, that's not very good. And so she probably got ignored a lot, not out of meanness or malice, but just because it's so doggone awkward. But in the middle of whatever it was Jesus was teaching, we don't even get to know what it is. It's almost as if that wasn't really the important thing in this text at all. Jesus stops the teaching and speaks. Because when she appeared, he saw her. And at that time, nothing else mattered. That's about the pinnacle of hospitality, I think. And it is also a hallmark of the character and the nature of Sabbath, and maybe especially Sabbath in worship. Last congregation I served, Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa, we were curious about how our character and nature of worship was for people who were newcomers. We had two stories about us in the community. One was that we were really, really a friendly church. Those stories came from people who apparently had a good experience or who just had more realistic expectations and got enough recognition and enough friendliness that they decided to join the congregation. There were more who visited and didn't join. And some of the rumors about us were, well, they're not really very friendly. They're just sort of caught up in themselves. So we had heard about another congregation in another state that had done sort of a trial visitors. They had recruited a couple of people to experience coming to their worship. And taking notes. How were they received? As a way to learn. Not as a way to make everyone shameful or anything, but as a way to kind of learn, you know, what do we do? What's a typical Sunday like? So we recruited two people. One of the people on staff was kind of a volunteer coordinator, very part-time, was quadriplegic. And she was not a Lutheran. So she had her own congregation, and she recruited a very nice person from her congregation. Woman, businesswoman in her 50s, well-dressed, you know, relatively outgoing. And so she was one of them. The other person she recruited for us was her nanny and her caretaker. Nanny and caretaker was a lesbian woman who wore boots and was engaged in mixed martial arts. But she was a lovely person. I had met her. She took great care of the kids. And to be honest, there was no way Heather would have made it out of the house into our place in the morning had it not been for a woman with a certain amount of strength to her. A woman often, when she was met by people, people were sort of taken aback. Very short hair. I mean, if you know what a butch lesbian is, that's kind of what she is, okay? All right? And people were sort of surprised, you know, and, you know, and often she would smile and just kind of lean in and say, yeah, I'm kind of a bruiser, aren't I? And she was. So this, we had kind of a wide variety of things so that people would, we'd have an idea of, you know, were they treated differently or not? They both visited, and the only instructions we gave them were, try to look a little lost. Which, for Heather's caretaker, was easy because she didn't remember the last time she'd been to church. And so they appeared, and they interacted with some people, but it was pretty lonely for them. The businesswoman actually ran into somebody who was a member of the congregation who knew her. And so they engaged in conversation, but she didn't introduce her to anybody else. And it was time for her and her family to go in. She left the businesswoman in the narthex to fend for herself. For the Bruvitzer, it was a lot of awkwardness. A lot of awkwardness. People smiled. We had official greeters, and they did their job kind of to the bare minimum, you know. You shake your hand, you get a bulletin, and then they have to greet somebody else. And the person they're greeting next is someone they really, really know well. And there's a long conversation, and you know, the juxtaposition of those two experiences was pretty amazing. So they wrote this up and gave it to us, and they were honest. And where there was, during the passing of the peace, the bruiser had been delighted that the people in her row made an effort to even reach across other people to greet her. But on the whole, on the main, they were just abandoned. And so we shared that with the congregation and said, I know you're doing good. I know you're doing good, but you're kind of focusing on people you already know. And if you don't have the gift of hospitality, okay. But some of you do. I know you do. Some of you are professional at hospitality. Dive in when you spot these folks. It makes a difference. And in this case, neither of these people would have dreamed of joining our congregation. One because they already had one, and the other one because they just don't do that. But it's about the character and the nature of our Sabbath. What does it mean for Sabbath? Is it just rest, or is it more than that? And for Jesus, of course, it was more than that. Stop everything. Look at this person who needs to be released from a spirit of weakness, what Jesus called a bondage to Satan. Because remember his first time he was in a synagogue after his baptism. He read from Isaiah. And what was it all about? I've been anointed to proclaim good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, freedom for the oppressed, and the year of the Lord's favor. That's what I'm all about. And this woman appeared on the Sabbath. And if Jesus was going to be true to himself and true to the character and the nature of Sabbath, the woman needed to be attended to. And then the leader of the synagogue speaks up. Okay. We typically trash. Most of the time, the leaders of the synagogues are Pharisees, and we trash Pharisees a lot. I'm probably going to trash them just a teeny bit, but not as much as I've learned a little bit about them. The Pharisees arise in Israel after the exile, okay? People of Israel, people of Judah, lose wars to their neighbors, and then they're all, not all, but most of them are carted off to Babylon for 70 years. It's a 70-year time out away from their homeland, the place where they worship, everything that they own. And after they are returned after those 70 years, the Pharisees come around and they say, we are never going to let that happen again. Okay? The prophets told us that we were not living up to the covenant. And we're never going to let that happen to us again, because that experience was absolutely awful. And so they overreacted a little. Ten Commandments were going to be followed, and we're going to have 600 explanations of just what it means to follow these Ten Commandments. Still in some places, you go to Jerusalem, many of the large hotels, if they have more than one elevator, one of those elevators will be called the Sabbath elevator. It's an elevator that Orthodox Jews can take on the Sabbath. You walk in, it stops on every floor. You either get out or you don't. But you can't push the button because that's working on the Sabbath. Don't smirk. I mean, it's easy for us to smirk. I mean, it is. My tone of voice smirked just a teeny bit. But in New York City, where I did internship, we had a couple of our high school kids that were hired by Jewish families after sundown on Friday to go over to their place and open and close shades, adjust the thermostat, turn on light, turn off lights. This was back in the 70s. You know, I don't think anyone had remotes. Turn on the TV, turn off the TV. Set up breakfast for them. Because those things are all work, and one does not work on the Sabbath. Well, one likes to have the lights on or the lights off. One likes to have the temperature set right. And so they invited these folks and paid them to do it. Jesus once commented about the Pharisees, you go out in the little pots that you have your spices in, and you take off 1 in 10 leaf to offer God. You're that meticulous and dedicated to the tithe, but you don't know anything about justice or mercy or faith. You've lost the forest for the trees. And this is another example of that. So the leader of the synagogue says, not to Jesus, he's going to be a little indirect about this, but to the crowd who's gathered there, you know, there are 6 days on which you ought to come for healing, unless it's life-threatening. That was allowed. So this woman's waited 18 years. She can wait another day. But then Jesus speaks. And his approach is, it's the Sabbath day. It's the day where we come to pay special attention to God and the character and the nature of God, which should be part of the character and nature of our worship and ought not she to be healed on this day. Isn't that what this day is all about? Release from captivity, freedom from bondage? No. Jesus is referring to the rendition of the Ten Commandments, not in Exodus 20, but in Deuteronomy chapter 5. We read a little bit about that commandment. From Deuteronomy 5. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, or your son, or your daughter, or your male or female slave, or your ox, or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath. What happened to God resting on the seventh day? Can't there be more than one reason to have a Sabbath? Can't it also be linked to slaves who got no rest and were redeemed from slavery? And God to say, Now you have some rest. Make sure everyone else, especially, Moses says twice, people that you may have enslaved, remember what it was like for you. You longed for rest, so give rest. And when that comes up, Jesus' opponents are ashamed. They kind of get that the rule about the Sabbath, taken to the extreme, violates the character and the nature of the Sabbath. Because like Jesus, it should be about good news to the poor, release to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, or maybe a straightening of a bent woman. It should be about freedom to the oppressed. It should be about the day of the Lord's favor. Not just talking about it, but it should be the experience of it. And so, we have a piece of that. Right away, you know, as soon as we sing something, we come back and we ask God for forgiveness of sins. And a miracle happens. Now, you may not have felt a tingle go up and down your spine. Okay, I didn't either. But I should have. Because having asked for forgiveness, recognizing that we have stuff that needs forgiveness, it is announced that God forgives all of our sins, every last one of them. There's not anyone that is so awful that it doesn't get forgiven. There's no one that doesn't get renewed by that. And that's not just in heaven. It's also among the community of believers. What bends us over? Well, some of it is physical. And sometimes the healing occurs physically. But the weariness that bends our minds or bends our heart, that can be lifted by God. Sabbath is a time of convincing grace, a release from having to go out to the spice garden and get every tenth leaf off or it's going to be trouble with God, and simply enjoy that God has given us justice and mercy and faith, and that we are to see if we can't make that happen in more than just our own lives. It's the Sabbath. Well, it's the Christian Sabbath. Okay. That's all right. And God has visited us today with the Word in this text about Jesus and a bent over woman who appears and who must be addressed with grace and kindness and power. And so we too, we bent over people in whatever way that is in this community of faith, today have been straightened by God. Because God wants that for us. It's why God came in human form, so that we would know it was true. God has not demanded any obligation to do something, but has blessed us by drawing us into the arms of Jesus who died for us and who rose, that we might no longer fear death, we might know that no matter how bad it is, Jesus is going to work to make it better, and will provide us his forgiveness, his strength, his power, his righteousness, his peace, and his grace. This is our Sabbath. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.